Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
3 more 4 hours of the Men's Room radio program live when you download the radio.com app. And joining us now, great radio stations like 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock, 98.9 The Rock in Kansas City, Kansas City's rock station, and also our friends at 980 in Clovis, New Mexico, and 1090 in Plainview, Texas, listening to us on the KVOP. Big show for you today as we will sit and spin our question: how much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
We were just discussing whether or not if we found an envelope of $22,000 in cash and then found out within a reasonable amount of time that the person who lost it is an elderly gentleman who was taking that cash to buy a new car, would we give it back? Knowing his story, we find out almost as soon as... I straight up saying no. Hell no, I'm not giving it back. Ted, you said he might get what? About 10 grand back?
Yeah.
Miles says he would be the good guy and gave him 22 grand back, which I don't personally believe that to be the case. But anyway, some comments have come in. Well, the person says, and I like their line of thinking, well, how do you know it's his $22,000?
It could just be someone else's.
Somebody lost $22,000 in an envelope.
That's not
he doesn't have his name written on there. Mm-hmm. Someone else says, I'm keeping all the money, all $22,000 of it. But I'd be nice to set the man up with a GoFundMe account for him online.
Oh, you know, be really smart. Keep all the money and then donate to his GoFundMe, like a large amount. So you could still keep, like, man, that sounds evil. Sorry.
What?
I was like, well, if he has a GoFundMe, I'll donate the 10 there. Then nobody will know I had it.
I would donate 5. It looks like a good guy.
I'd give him 10 bucks.
I'll say 10.
That way no one's on the trail.
Wow.
I was going to give him like 8 G's, 10 G's.
Oh. See, then I think it's
like
weird.
They would know, like, yo, man, that dude has your envelope and he feels bad. Someone else says, let's see, you guys are going to turn that money to that little old man because you guys would feel sorry for him. Then you're going to find out he's a millionaire and kick yourself in the ass.
I was wondering, he's paying for, I know, and they say that's common in Germany, is pay with cash, but either way, it's $22,000 in cash.
I missed the part where this was Germany. I'll give that money back.
What?
Yeah.
Hell no. No, you're still not getting it back. And someone else says, if you turn in the money to the police, because we said legally, are you obligated, if you find this, and this story's been made public, are you legally obligated to return the money? So someone says, well, if you turn the money over to the police and no one claims it within 45 days, you get to keep all the money. At least in my department and city where I found a wallet, and I keep quite a few.
All right.
All right.
Okay, makes sense.
So just don't turn it into the police. Like, to me, done. Cops don't know about it.
What if you did this? What if you turned it in? Maybe I know where this money is. But here's the deal. If I ever get in trouble, you got to cut me some slack.
Wait a minute. You're going to the cops. You're telling them, I know where this man's money is.
Maybe I do.
Maybe I do.
But
that's
if I can figure
idea.
Out a way
if you find
to return
out.
This money, then maybe if I get a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or something like that, you know what I mean? We can just call it even. Is that fair?
No.
Don't say anything.
No.
And someone else, Miles, says,
you honestly, sorry, but it just sounds like a man who's never had a serious interaction with a cop.
I have.
Where it's like, right, like, now you don't volunteer to go in and go, maybe I know something. Yeah.
And if I do, how about I can get away with something?
I'll turn the music down if you give me some of that confiscated dope you picked up tonight. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Deo.
Hola. Deo. Hey, did you hear, honestly, the guy that wrote the Deo song?
He died.
Yeah, he died like 2 or 3 days ago. I'm not even kidding.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for bringing us all down.
Yeah, man.
Oh, damn. So I don't know exactly how much this cost because I was about 4 or 5 at the time. But me and my father, we'd be going camping almost every weekend because it was getting closer to the end of summer. And he taught me how to build a fire and everything, and, you know, all that. So one weekend, I asked him if we can go camping, and he said the weather's not going to be good. And so I was like, well, I want to make a campfire. So I went outside, grabbed some rocks, put them in a circle, and then got some like little pieces of wood, put it in there in the teepee shape. And then do you guys know the you remember when the camcorders, they used to have like a book for an instruction manual?
Sure.
Yeah, so I just ripped out a bunch of pages of that, put it in the little teepee thing, and lit a fire. There's one minor detail I'm kind of leaving out. This fire that I made was in our living room.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
So you said you were 4 years old?
4 or 5.
Well, this is a pretty, most people don't know that much about building a fire, so at least you've got that much down. Unfortunately,
great.
You just didn't know where to do it.
Yeah, but a good thing out of the story is that's where my dad got his love for hardwood floors now.
I can believe that.
Oh, yeah. So I guess all the carpet caught on fire.
It was actually contained in that rock circle that I made.
Hey, man, you know what? You get a merit badge for that. So how to light an indoor fire without a fireplace.
What did your parents say? Oh, that's fine. We'll just leave a big burnt hole in the middle of a living room. Or did they replace the carpet?
No.
Hardwood floors.
They replaced the carpet. I just don't know how much that ended up costing. And I don't remember what my punishment was, because it was either not really a punishment or it was so horrific my brain blocked it out.
You're 4 years old. I don't think most people can remember stuff when they were 4 years old.
Oh, you remember bad punishments. I remember my ass being introduced to Mr. Belt. I was 4. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, I remember that too.
But, I mean, can you... Obviously, you have to kind of reprimand your kid. There's a lot you have to explain to your kid, but I don't know how much punishment they'd get because, like, look, man, at this point, I would think, okay, my kid is not bad. In fact, he follows directions. He knows how to do it. My problem is that my kid is stupid, and this is a whole different batch I have to deal with. So, hey, stupid, you can't light this on the carpet inside of the house, but everything else you did is perfect. Stay contained, right, in the rock circle.
I'm not sure I know I'm not sure what you could punish a four-year-old with, because logic really isn't there all the way yet.
You just send them away.
Yeah. I know, but there's not, like, what can you take away
time
from
out,
a four-year-old that's
in a room?
So important?
We don't lock them in a room, but you could. Jesus, Dad. I mean, you can send them to the room.
Lock them in a room.
All the locks are on the outside, boy.
Lock them in a room. Just saying. I mean, how much?
And they go to the movies.
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
It cost some poor kid 2 weeks in the hole.
You will never babysit my kids. Sometimes I think this is just a ploy from Ted.
By the way, I'm three for three. Every babysitting job I've had, all three kids have survived.
Yeah, but haven't you seen
like
they called
on a
and
resume.
They were sick and all those things happen? Then you have like a bunch of weird things happen?
Yeah, it was just a dog.
What happened to the dog?
It just was one of those dogs, kind of like our Boston collar. The dog was real nice.
Right.
And then sometimes when I would babysit, the dog would just...
And you were the kid.
And me.
Okay.
So then it's just me and this dog having a weird standoff. And then, yeah, you're right, Miles. That was the rule. If the kids cried or anything and they needed real attention, call them. Give them a couple warning calls.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, how many? Like, in the course of one night, how many times is my phone going to blow up because... Ted, the adult watching my kids.
Well, I was only like 14 or 15.
Okay, all right.
That's
right.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
I was a teenager. I guess usually the first
but
call.
But as an adult, you said lock him in a room.
Yeah. Well, I learned. The first call is just like, hey, coach. It's the guy that used to coach me. Hey, coach. One kid's crying. How much? Like 5 minutes. It'll be all right. The youngest? Yeah. Second call. Still crying. All right, give it another 20 minutes. Call me back.
20 minutes.
Did you call him back?
All right, the last call is just, hey, coach, yeah, I'm coming home.
Oh, no.
Well, they weren't going to let me handle the children and try to calm them down. I was basically there just to make sure the dog didn't eat them.
Parents will do anything. We talk about this. Like they will put their kids in a burning building to go to dinner for 2 hours because they need the break.
I mean, it sounds like it.
I mean, really.
You really will.
I'm 14 years old. You never had children. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the babysitting. It's just you're
trusting the life of gotten you immunized. I look at every report. Everything about you I worry about constantly. When I fill out my insurance at work, I just check the expensive crap because I have kids. I want to make sure that they are okay. Yeah. You know what, man? I need a break. Get that zit
I was,
kid who's
more...
eating his boogers to watch our kids. I'm out.
Well, that's like when you're an adult that doesn't have children, the public pool is frightening. It's run by teenagers.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. When you're 14 years old, that is the one time that I'm worried about my kids more than anything else. Because they weren't old enough yet to be mature enough, but they were still somewhat of a kid, but they were making really dumb decisions.
But that person is the person that I'm going to pick to watch
for the safety of my children. You know what I mean? Please watch over my home.
You should still take a teenager over somebody like me.
Yes.
Like at this, right, as a teenager,
you're
I think it was
different.
Right. Like
I'm just not qualified.
39, right? Like your kid's either going to be in pain or you're going to come home and it's like already likes beer and sports.
Right.
Like my kid's three. What happened?
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999.
Don't worry, man. It's NA beer. We're just playing along.
Hello, Manson. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, my God. That's the second time you call me Manson.
Well, that's what it says. It says Manson. What should I call you?
It's Mason. Mason, like the jar.
Oh, Mason. Welcome Mason. To the program. Hola.
Hello, Mason.
Hello. Hola, bitches.
Hola, bitches. Are, you on a satellite phone calling from the Middle East?
No, he was serious about calling a Mason.
Okay.
No, I was, I was just on speaker there because... Gosh. You guys were taking other calls and stuff. Okay. But yeah, I heard Manson knew you were talking about me.
Well, Mason, how much did the mistake cost?
Oh, man, I got pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt, and it ended up getting me a DUI, which cost me about $15,000.
Whoa! Was it the only DUI you had?
Yeah, it is, but I kind of didn't follow protocol, and as soon as he asked me to do some field sobriety, I started declining things, and then I declined a breathalyzer, and yeah, it got pretty expensive pretty quick. And then he actually answered my phone for me. I had my German Shepherd in the truck with me.
Yeah, rough.
Mm-hmm. The cop answered the phone for me and had my buddy, who also was drunk, come and pick up my dog.
Did your buddy get it?
Did your buddy get popped?
No, he got off with it. Lucky. Yeah, he was pretty lucky.
Okay.
He, it was his birthday, so I suppose that's the way it goes. But
and so you're saying by not agreeing to do the things that the officer asked, do you think your fine was more because of that?
Well, it ended up just costing me a lot more because I had to go to court so much, and it ended up costing me my job, too, because I just constantly was having to miss work to go to court cases.
And I'm
so,
a sheriff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got a lot more expensive.
Wow. What were you doing for a living? What job did you lose?
I'm a CNC machinist, so I make parts for Boeing airplanes.
Okay. So does that mean that you, that sounds like a one and done deal. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem like there'd be other plane manufacturers in the area. Like, so what do you do now?
No, I'm still a CNC machinist. I just work for another company now. I just, because the issue wasn't because of a DUI why I got fired. It was just because I missed so much work going to court for it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing about having to go to court. How much, on weekends.
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to the Men's Room.
A woman who once offered a $25,000 reward for information about her husband's murder is apparently the person that killed him, according to investigators. 13 years after the Wisconsin pharmacist's death, Cindy Schultz of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, had reported finding her husband, Kenneth Judas, dead in Unity and then posted a reward for information leading to arrest in the case a year later. Authorities announced her arrest for the murder Monday morning and said she would appear before a judge. She was taken into custody 5 days ago. She said she didn't know who shot her husband in their home because she was sleeping in a camper on the property due to a sinus infection at the time. Now, she was 58 when he was killed. Investigators said the two blasts that killed him came from a shotgun. Both shots were aimed at his chest. His siblings and investigators have said that they believe the $1 million life insurance policy that she collected was probably the motive behind the murder. Our question, how much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
A quick comment that came in. It says, caught my wife having an affair, and I ended up beating the guy with the gun. That mistake cost me my house, $250,000 in private collections, and $80,000 in savings.
What about temporary insanity?
So I said to Mike, right, because we read that, I said it had to be because it wasn't like he didn't catch him. You know what I mean? He didn't catch him in the act.
Okay, yeah.
So I think if you catch somebody in the act and that happened, it would be a lot less lenient.
Right.
But I think if you waited a day and went to their house and beat them.
Right.
It looks a little more. I see. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and like, look, I mean, I'm not saying you should be violent, but I mean, that's tough, especially if you knew the dude or something. Yeah. Like, that's brutal.
I mean, I think even the judge would say, hey, man, I understand, but I still got to sentence you. You know?
Yeah.
I get it. I'm not even saying you're wrong. It just
$80,000 in savings,
right?
An entire home.
Yeah. $250,000 in private collection.
Now, does this mean that he did not get anything out of this divorce?
I'm going to guess he did not.
See, I know assault is assault. And I know that, but that isn't that separate from this case?
It should be.
I mean, isn't that a different set of
circumstances?
Well,
he attacked the guy, too. He didn't attack his wife. He attacked the guy.
Right, but also, like, I'm pretty sure we live in a state, and some states are no-fault states, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay. Like, she can cheat on him, but...
So that would be the bottom line, no matter what. If nothing happened and he never came home and he just wanted to get a divorce, that's how much...
I believe so.
Okay. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Rue. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
So how much did the mistake cost?
You must be on one of those satellite phones from the Middle East.
No, I'm driving my taxi right now, but...
All right.
So it's on speaker.
Okay, gotcha.
But it cost me $1,500.
What happened?
So I was selling tickets to the Comedy Underground, and the $1,500 was my profit. And I went to go get off the bus because he had missed his stop. Well, I had missed his stop and rushed off the bus and left it. Had my ID and everything in it. Nobody called me, nothing. Just, it was gone.
Yeah, because there's $1,500 in there. You're not getting a call for $1,500.
On a bus?
Yeah. Think about the people around you.
Buses go on Third now. I mean, listen, exclusively.
I take the bus. I'm telling you, I'd have kept your wallet, too. I know it's a horrible thing.
Oh, man, you got to remember, man. I mean, you know. There's a reason you can't even drive your cab on Third.
Right.
You know, it's dangerous. You just locked up the courthouse. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did, right in front of the bus station. Like, oh, don't worry about the bus stop. Don't worry about the safety of the people. We just care about the people who need to walk into the courthouse.
Yeah, Third Avenue in Seattle.
Thanks.
It is notorious.
Thanks for that.
Right. It's where every stupid person goes.
And every city's got that street.
And it is Third Avenue here.
That's it.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Well, I was about 10 years old, and my brother was in the Boy Scouts, and they had one of those silent auctions, right? So the whole family goes, and I didn't really understand the rules. So they had all these cakes that were really beautiful cakes that people spent all this time to make. And I thought the rule was, instead of, you know, like the highest bidder gets the cake, is that you had to guess how much the cake was worth. So I'm 10, and I'm like, man, this is one hell of a cake, right? It's layered. It's got all this frosting. It has, like, a map on it. That's got to be like a $500 cake. So I wrote $500 on it and put my dad's name on it and put it in the box. And they pull my ticket out and they're like, wow, look at this. Somebody's going to buy this cake for $500. And they call my dad's name and like, thank you so much for the donation. And I cost my dad $500.
And you got to remember, you're at a charity auction.
Right.
You can't do anything about it. You can't make a nasty face. You can't look disappointed. You know what I mean? You just walk up there and go, I got this cake. You know what I mean?
But you're welcome.
Like, you got to act like, you know, like I'm giving. I care.
Right. I love this charity so much.
Boy Scouts.
Man, oh, man.
I bet. $500. I wonder what the cake was actually worth at that time. 50? 100?
Man.
Oh, man. I mean, there's some batter and some frosting. This was like 1985. It was probably like $12.
Yeah, you're right.
It wasn't even that much, man. No, it was a $3 cake.
That's a lot of money.
God almighty. My kid's school does the silent auction, and I made the mistake of saying this out loud because it seems to me, so for years, one of the things you could bid on at the silent auction, it was a guarantee because everyone would bid on it because there's a photographer there and she would take pictures of your kid solo, right? And so when you get, there's a million different things you can bid on, but one of the things, here's a picture of your kid, right? You're not going to not bid on it. The kids are aware that the pictures are there, and it was like either $10 or $20. So as a fact, every parent, certainly, right? You put in the name, you bid on your kid, you get your kid's picture. It's just that easy. I get it. So I'd made mention to one of the dudes there. I said, man, you know what? We can jack up how much money we make at this thing for the school. Because to me, like, we have to do this every year. Why don't we just try to make a big splash and then take a year off? So I said, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to bid like $40 on all the kids' pictures. All of them, right? Because one, they don't know it's me, but like, you can't be outbid for your own kids' picture. So everyone else will put in like $45 instead of the $40 because they got to get their kids' picture. The kids know. They won't know it's me, right? And I'm telling them that. And he's looking at me and he said, are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. It's not my problem. Look, you don't have to buy a picture of your kid. That's not my problem. That's your problem.
You're just going to jack. You're going to artificially inflate the price of the
bid. A picture of your ugly kid just as well.
Even if they say, no, $40 is too much, then you're on the hook.
Then I'm on the hook for the picture of the kid, and I'm the weird guy. But for the most part, I was willing to hedge my bets, but I said this out loud. I think the guy may have ratted me out because the following year, those pictures were there, but there was a different way that you could bid on it. That was the only thing where they changed how you bid on it. I'm like, I know that was me. I was trying to make money for the school.
It's also funny, as you still, I feel like you might be the one person in the room who'd be like, $40? I'm not buying my
I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, I'd have been like, I'd let everyone else feel guilty. I'd have been straight up like, oh, hell no.
You can't believe it. You can't believe how much of that kid stuff you don't have when they're gone. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I was coming home from work like the Thursday before 4th a couple years ago, and I was next to his car, and we decided just to go at it. So I was going up the hill in Bow. I was going about 140 and got popped for reckless driving and racing. So got a lawyer and all that, and that cost me about $5,000.
$5,000. Okay. What kind of car did you have that went 140 miles an hour?
A Volvo S60.
What's what my daughter drives.
Yeah. Now you know what's going on.
Granted, it's a 19 or it's like a 2002 or something like that.
Is this the one north or south of us?
South. It's
then that's the one you need to worry about, right?
It's a six-cylinder, right? Is that right?
Mine is the five-cylinder turbo, so it's only 212 horse, but it's 270 foot-pounds of torque.
Did they take your car?
No, they actually let me drive home and all that while I was in the back of the squad car for a little bit until I told them that I was too fat and too tall to sit in the back of a freaking, Charger. So they end up grabbing another cruiser for me to sit in that until they got everything figured out.
I want to ride on the back of a motorcycle if I'm going. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm riding bitch.
So if you get pulled over by a motorcycle
and
cap,
hey man, and they take my car, they
don't call the car. Don't call
it. Just give me a ride
car.
Home, man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got a spare helmet underneath the seat.
You're going to ride bitch on a when to go to jail.
Yeah.
You ride cupcake.
Why not? I mean, I'm not gonna jump off the bike.
You're gonna fall off.
No, I would love to see that.
You're like, I'm going to jail.
It's the damnedest thing I've seen.
They got a motorcycle ride in. How cool. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA. They got these new bikes the police do.
They put a little sidecar.
They're really nice, man. They are.
Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola. Hola.
So when I was young, my sister and I used to capture animals in a jar, you know, like crickets and frogs and whatnot. And we decided to go capture bees for some reason. And we went around the neighborhood, and sometimes there's like honeycombs or like little beehives on the corner of people's windows. So we grabbed pebbles and we started throwing it at them, trying to knock it down and capture the bees in the jar. And so there was this one honeycomb we were throwing pebbles at, and we couldn't knock it down. Everybody's like, well, let's forget it. And I just grabbed this huge rock and I swing it, and the whole thing is like slow motion for me. It shatters the window and it falls on my neighbor's, his youngest daughter's bed. like right where the pillow is. Luckily, she wasn't sleeping at the time.
Did bees go into the house too?
Oh, I don't know where they went. We all just ran. We ran for it. And I thought they were running in support, but they were running after me, and they caught me, including my sister. And they're like, it was him, it was him.
Oh, no way. They're calling to rat you out.
Yeah, exactly. So my mom grounded me. I was like 6 or 7 years old.
And I'm assuming,
she grounded me. I don't know how much it ended up costing.
Well,
it
cost to replace the window.
Exactly, yeah.
So whatever that is, you know.
God bless kids. I mean, let's throw a rock toward a window. What could go wrong? It's already a bad idea to try to collect bees.
I would never think to do that.
I remember my brother and two of our neighbors. I'm a little kid, like 6 or 7 years old. Four of us were playing in the backyard. I knew there was a bee's nest up in this one tree, and they started throwing rocks at it. So I'm like, look, I'm out, man. I'm just, at that age, the idea of getting stung by a bee just terrified me. I wanted no part of it. So I'm walking into the garage, and like, over my shoulder, I hear one of the kids shout, not my brother, one, what are you, chicken? And man, two steps into the garage, they're getting lit up now. I mean, I just stepped in, and now they're running around. They each got stung like 37 times.
Wow.
Right. So, right. The kids ran all the way home. They're like 2 or 3 houses down. My brother runs in the house. My mom's pulling stingers out of his crying ass, and I'm just standing with my arms folded like, yeah, I'm chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got it, man.
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, gentlemen. Picture it. Korea, 2002. I'm in the U.S. Army in a mechanized infantry battalion, and I witnessed two mistakes that collectively cost our tax dollars about $1.5 million.
Okay.
Well, thank God it wasn't your money.
Well, it's yours and mine.
I know.
But so the first one was a good lead up. We were going to a huge exercise at the time, and tensions were really high because the war kicked off soon and around there. And so they loaded up a clue, which is the sight for a javelin missile. And they cost about $250,000. Now, they left it to the lowest ranking private in the unit to load this thing up, who gave zero anything to give, and then it just disappeared as far as anybody knew. I met a dude that said he found some pieces of it later, but they had us searching every square inch of everywhere we were in Korea for that thing, and they never did recover it.
All right, so
that was just a good lead in.
So they stole a missile. They stole a missile.
Well, the sight for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what good it would do anybody that didn't have a javelin missile system.
Well, maybe that's the next thing I steal. I mean, that's my thought.
Maybe. So that was a good lead-in, though, to get our battalion leadership in hot water leading up to what really was the good one, when our guys were in Bradley fighting vehicles, the tracked ones with the 20-millimeter cannon on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going down the roads in Korea, going to the training area, and the roads there are just ridiculously skinny, just even the main roads, all roads there are just always skinny, always cars parked on the side, traffic is congested and crazy, and they had all their gear on the outside of the vehicle. They couldn't fit down this one alleyway, though, and so, you know, we'll just take all the gear off. So they just stripped the vehicle clear of all their rucksacks and stuff, and they just threw it all in the Bradley and powered on. Unfortunately, the heater on those things gets red hot, and when they threw one of their bags on it, it caught fire eventually. So they do have fire suppression systems on those things, but you actually have to use them correctly. So they exit the vehicle, they leave all the hatches open, and they activate the Halon system, which is supposed to suck all the oxygen out, but they left all the hatches open, and so it fed the fire. But when that thing hit the fuel and the ammo, that was $1.2 million down the drain. And our battalion commander almost losing his job.
Almost. You can make that big of a mistake and almost lose your job.
Almost lose your job, right.
I can imagine.
He still kept it.
I can't imagine what the monetary value would be for us to be out of here. It'd be like $15. I'd get him out of here.
Right.
No way.
Right. Well, when you're considering the amount that he was responsible for, though, overall, like, that really wasn't that much, which is crazy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, man, if we were to cuss on the air, I believe it's a $325,000 fine.
Something like that.
Ridiculous. In the scheme of this big-ass radio company that we work for, they fart more than that every 20 seconds. But I'm going to lose my job. Like, it doesn't matter relative to how much money.
It's not on the company. It's on the individual.
Well, that's what they say. See, now, I don't know how this works, all right? So the FCC says, and it makes sense. It's really not that hard to do. Like, look, man, here's a couple of words we really, really, really encourage you not to say. We can't prevent you from saying it, but if you do say these things, we can fine you. And so radio stations, trust me, companies will throw their employees under the bus in a heartbeat. I have no doubt about it here. So, like, if we cuss on the air, like, you're going to lose your job. And they say that you are on the hook for $325,000.
Personally. It's almost like you're a contracted employee, but you're not.
Who here has $325,000 to give?
Who here?
Right. Give away.
Exactly.
You couldn't even collect.
So the FCC does not care. The FCC wants some money, which means the radio company inevitably is going to pay that. Right? They're going to pay because they might lose their license. So in the end, it's very much their problem. I don't lose my license. I lose my job. They'll pay for it. But even though you just cost them $325, you're out. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, long story short, I love to play with cars for fun, and I rebuilt an engine and forgot one major bolt to tighten it. It was there, but it wasn't snug, and ended up 4 hours later blowing the engine.
How much time and money had you put into restoring this thing?
So, into it wasn't as much as it took to repair it after the fact. I had about $1,000 into it, but after the fact, it was about another $1,500 to $1,700.
Now, is this because the two pieces of the engine block that needed to be screwed together?
No, it was actually the crank pulley bolt, and the timing chain floated and caught and snagged and then blew up the valves.
So everything just completely blew out on the engine?
Well, to a point blew out. They bent the valves, so you couldn't utilize the engine without another rebuild.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a really hard lesson.
What kind of car was it?
So it was a Toyota 2ZZ Corolla, which is high performance for the most part.
Okay,
until the engine blows up.
So did you have to scrap the car, or did you fix it?
Oh, it's fixed. I mean, if it would have cost me labor to do it, I wouldn't have fixed it, but I do all my own work, which that mistake was a learning experience.
Okay. All right, is that the car you still drive?
Oh, yes.
That's a great car, man.
All right.
That is a great car. I used to basically I didn't have the sport version of that. But I, of course, had the Geo Prism, which was, in fact, the Toyota Corolla. It was built by Toyota at that point in time when I had it.
But Toyota didn't want to claim it as its own.
Yeah,
they said, like, we made this, but we're going to go ahead and call it a Geo Prism.
Yeah, it ran forever, though.
Yeah, I understand they run forever.
You have no idea the looks you get, man, from the ladies when you roll up in a Geo Prism.
I sure as hell don't.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm telling you right now, you are 100% correct.
I don't remember one. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Actually, I'll tell you the worst car that I've had to drive for a while. Who was the dealership? We worked with in Baltimore. Anyway, they loaned me out one really cool car, the Crossfire, mm-hmm. right? There, I'm getting the look. Like, you're the man, right? And no matter what, you don't want to tell them, oh, look, it's a loaner. I work on the radio. You're like, I bought this. The other one was the PJ Cruiser, PF Cruiser.
PT
Cruiser.
In your defense, though, it was cool at the time.
It was a convertible.
I've discovered quickly that, Ted, regardless of what you think about that, most people disagreed. I hated driving that thing for the company. Now, dude, you look great in it. I'm like, I don't.
Oh, the worst one was.
I liked it. But they did look like goofs. On the highway in that convertible.
Oh,
and it was purple. He left that out. The car was purple.
The promotions department had a Pontiac Aztec. Do you guys remember what this thing looked like?
That is the ugliest car. I used to hide in that thing so people didn't see me.
You go to a grocery store or whatever, you park the Aztec out front. You know what I mean? Like, that'll get them.
Oh, yeah. We had a state logo. Google Pontiac Aztec and ask yourself, why would you want that to represent your company?
What is that? You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
If you are just joining us or you missed an episode of the show, all episodes of the Men's Room are available on radio.com. Our question, how much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Marcus. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah. It's disappointing, man, to have to even say the dollar amount here, but I'm going to keep it short. 11 years old, so it's the late 80s, summertime in Chicago. Recycling is a really big thing. So everybody, all the kids are out collecting cans, throwing them in trash bags, and bring them to the local mobile recycle center. At the beginning of the summer, I collected 2 pieces of what would have been a really big prize, and I gave it to my mom for safekeeping for summer. Big mistake. Big mistake. Because at the end of summer, I collected the last 2 pieces, and I would have won with 4 little sailboats the grand prize. But she threw them out because she thought we were never going to collect any more cans after the first visit. So I lost an opportunity to win some money.
How much money?
A lot of money. A lot.
And who was doing this? A local brewery was?
No, recycle center.
Oh, the recycle center. And so what were the magical cans here? Did they place them?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what is this? Like Willy Wonka of trash?
Like, you just go out and you find some cans in the trash, Coke cans, Pepsi, whatever, and you put them in a bag, you bring them in, they weigh it, and they give you, you know, some change for it because it's a recycle. But the incentive wasn't about the money that they give you. It was about collecting these stickers to be able to win the prizes at the end of summer.
Oh, so when you turned them in, they also gave you a sticker. You collected all 4 stickers. You would have won that prize.
I would have won that prize.
And you just won't tell us what the prize is.
I'll tell you now. It's painful. It's just painful. It was $1 million.
Oh, $1 million.
$1 million in the recycling center?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
It was harsh. It was real hard.
What was your mom's reaction when you say, hey, man, like, I'm not saving up to get a new Schwinn bike. This is $1 million.
She's like, well, take care of your, you know what, next time. I'm not doing it for you.
So no sympathy on the fact that she was responsible for a $1 million loss?
No, none.
All right.
You still buy her Mother's Day cards?
Yeah, I still do.
Okay. Damn, okay.
She's still in Chicago.
She sounded happy about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLA.
$1 million.
Does that count as losing something, though?
Well, I mean, he lost the pieces.
Must have had some kind of lottery system.
The mistake was it cost him $1 million, basically.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he didn't have to spend it, but there was $1 million waiting for him. Like, hey, just bring the stuff in that you have. But what, mom threw it out.
Did I miss that? I thought he was still waiting for 2 more pieces.
No, he found the other 2 pieces, but I guess based on what I understood of that scintillating story is that by the time he got the other 2 pieces, enough time had passed since he got the first 2 pieces that his mother was not buying into the idea that he was going to keep looking for cans. It's like he looked at the beginning of the summer and at the end of the summer, but not so much in the middle. So in the middle, she threw these things out thinking he's not doing it. Still $1 million, man.
Yeah, I feel worse for the guys that already had the money.
Yeah.
Like the old guy in Germany. He had the 22 G's in his
hand. You're only giving him 10 grand back. You don't feel that bad for him. Even said you'd only give him 10 grand back.
And I didn't have a dollar in his hand.
Well, yeah, that's true. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
So back when I was about 14, I think this is like 92. My buddy, he was 17. He has a license. And his dad just rebuilt a 1977 big block 490. He rebuilt it because his older brother wrecked it. So his dad let us go out on a Saturday night, and we had to be back at 12. And he got a little ass-faced, and His dad was like, just bring the truck back with gas that, you know, that you use. So we go to AM PM and I go pay and I come back out and he is peeing on the island. So I'm like, dude, okay, you're not driving. I'll drive. We're only about 2 miles away from the house. So I go the back way. They did some road construction. There was like a plate over the road. And with the truck, it had a lot of play in the steering wheel. So when I went over that plate, the truck kind of bounced around and my buddy grabbed the steering wheel and yanked it to the right. So we went through a ditch, hit two of those green electrical boxes that you see.
Yeah.
And then smashed into a telephone pole, snapping the pole in half. Snapping the whole cab in half, blew out the back windshield about 30 feet behind us. And I had no license. My parents' insurance paid over $17,000 to have that fixed.
Damn.
Damn, man.
That was the big mistake.
That was a car totaled, I hope.
Jeez. Why are we paying?
Always your parents bailing you out, though, isn't it?
How much did the mistake cost? 844-999-OLAM, or your call's coming up here in seconds.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.